Hello and welcome back to Mess Explores with Xavier and Alan, where as always, we'll be looking at all manner of films from around the world. This week, we're fighting human sex trafficking alongside Doctor. So let's draw up the syringe. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Save, and of course, hello to our favourite fans. Welcome back to Mass Explores. Before we delve deep into human trafficking and dark comedy, remember, as always, our podcast is best enjoyed if you've seen the film prior, as we do contain spoilers. As Save said, we are looking at Doctor, which is a 2021 South Indian film written and directed by Nelson Dilip Kumar. Doctor stars Siva Karthikeyan, Vinay Rai, Yogi Babu, and Priyanka Aramorgan, just to name a few. So without further ado, Save, let's get straight into the film. What did you think?
Well, look, right from the outset, I was like, oh, we've got a high-energy intro, we've got some good music, a little bit of action going, and actually got me quite psyched for this film. But sadly, it wasn't too long-lived because, you know, not long after that opening scene, we got this musical montage. And for me, it was just a little bit too early on in the film, as very little was already established about the characters yet. So it felt distinctly like it was actually just trying to peddle a song and not the narrative. And it reminded me a little bit of, you know, that old nighttime video music show called Video Hits in Australia. And for me, that just didn't fit into the film because it felt too shoehorned. But, you know, once again, we're back to the old tropes of police and officials being portrayed as corrupt, sort of self-serving idiots. And that was a little bit tedious, but by the same token, I did kind of come to expect it in this film. But there was a nice flow to the end of this film, so the pace was kept quite well. But I did feel it was a little bit needlessly long, and a good hour or so probably could have actually been cut out of this film without losing anything major from the narrative. So on the whole, it was enjoyable enough, but it definitely had its shortcomings. How about you?
Look, I did feel the film was a bit tad long, and there were moments that it felt like it dragged on as well. And I think what really annoyed me the most is we tend to see this formulaic structure that South Indian cinema uses that sort of detracts from the potential for them to create these continuous stellar films. And this structure is the integration of comedy, the love angle, and these intrusive songs that we see. And I think that South Indian cinema has defined itself on the backs of these three outdated outlets. And what happens is that the narrative is often sort of second fiddle or diluted because of these factors. It often reminds me of like processed food where they have fillers and junk that goes into these boxed foods to preserve it and to make it last longer, but the actual substance is just so bad for you. There are people out there pushing the envelope and changing the narrative in Indian cinema, but as a fan, I want to see the narrative be in the driver's seat continuously. The expanding popularity of streaming platforms like Netflix and Amazon Prime is sort of paving the way for these directors to break out of the mold and appeal to wider audiences, which is fantastic. And I know that I'm digressing a little bit, but this is what Doctor is guilty of. The potential to deliver a great dark humor thriller was sort of diluted by this extended runtime and unnecessary fillers.
I agree completely. I mean, I was expecting something far more gritty and dark from this narrative, something closer to the feel of a film akin to Taken, but what we got felt utterly confused as to whether we should actually be taking it seriously or if it was actually just a spoof.
Look, I think the first half of Doctor sort of like sizzles with the combinations of absurdity and humour, and we have side characters like Actor Kingsley keeping the commercial audience in hysterics by the use of his impetuous delivery, and Nelson sort of tries to pack a range of humor into these scenes. Some are dark, some are light, some are very slapstick, and we even see a range of comedy in these action blocks in the film that occur inside a metro train compartment. The opening scenes were a bit unconventional for a Tamil South Indian film. Usually there's this mass introduction for a commercial hero and then it's like followed by a montage for the heroine. The flashback method was an interesting choice for Nelson to make, but I think what stood out to me was how understated Siva Karthikeyan's role was. In his previous movies, Siva Karthikeyan has sort of chosen humorous roles where some would argue that there are cookie cutter characters. So when an actor comes from a repetitive arc to one where his character is more composed and someone who speaks only if their words add value to silence, the character literally deprives him of his joyful and energetic self, an eminence that he's sort of insinuated in the South Indian masses, especially for family audiences. Now, another thing I want to mention is Nelson's previous films, like Kolam Akokila. Nelson sort of demonstrates his ability to like fascinate audiences with the narrative of an ordinary family doing unexpected things. And in this film, he tries to repeat the same trick, and the result, for the most part, is an interesting story of how a family goes to these great lengths to save their little girl, but I don't know if the film was cohesive enough.
Look, Siva Karthikeyan honestly just felt so overacted to me, but in the sense that he downplayed everything just too far. I did not for one second feel like he was a believable character, as it just felt like the actor was repressing himself inside his character. And having never seen anything of his before, it's actually interesting to me that you mention his extensive history in more comical types of roles, because now I sort of feel that feeling of him being repressed inside his characters actually makes so much more sense to me. You know, throughout this entire film, I kept expecting him to suddenly break character and give us a comedic reprieve, but it never came, and this is not an actor that I could take seriously in a serious role. So for me, it's actually quite interesting to know that he comes from more of a comedic background, because that's what I felt in him as an actor, even though we didn't see it in his character. But as for whether this film was an interesting take on how far a family would go to save their children, I sort of go, meh. Like, I disagree, but for me that stems from the fact that everything in this film felt disingenuous, and I wasn't actually sure whether it was serious or a comedy. So I guess I was a little bit conflicted as a viewing audience as to what the actual purpose was. So I didn't quite engage with the narrative in perhaps the correct way that was intended for an audience.
Sivakarthikeyan doesn't even smile until the end of the film, and when he does smile, it's in that dance number at the very end, which has no relation to the actual narrative in the first place. But look, I think it's great that an actor goes against the grain, and we see this in Vijay's Master, where he's this alcoholic. So it does work in some cases, but in this particular case, it was a little... If the narrative was great, it would have just elevated that sacrifice to another level. But in this particular case, like for me personally, it wasn't, and it just detracts from the whole effort or the film. Mm. But one thing I had a problem with is the title. What the heck was the relevance of the title to the actual narrative? It seemed like a bit of a stretch. Like, there was no real significance to why they used it. Look, yes, I get it. Varun is a doctor whose personality is attuned to logic and reason. His words are measured and his intentions are calculated. But the whole film, he deals with his human trafficking, you know, into the sex trade business. So look, I just don't understand like why the film's called Doctor. Maybe you might be able to shed some light on this, because like I just felt like he was lazy and rushed.
Okay, I actually agree with you here as well, because the title of Doctor felt like someone thought it was catchy, so they then added elements of that title into the narrative to try and shoehorn the film into the title, rather than a title actually born of the narrative. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's a crap title insofar as it's completely meaningless, with the exception of a few scenes where Varun dabbles in anything slightly medical, a la the opening scene of him in the field hospital and scenes of him drugging people later. But honestly, I feel like Liam Neeson did more medical related stuff in Taken, and the film still ended up with a far more apt title than Doctor.
Exactly right. Now, I briefly mentioned my gripes with this film and the loss of the potential in the narrative before, but personally, what I wanted to see was a dark, greedy child abduction narrative where Sivakarthikeyan pushes the envelope as an actor and the viewer experiences depth in his acting range. Maybe a heavy topic like sex trade and trafficking shouldn't be treated as a feel-good family entertainment, but it does work in some angles. I want to see the dark reality of the trade and Sivakarthikeyan push the boundaries of acting, even an ending where an outcome is unfavorable to him as the protagonist. That would have emphasized the reality of the issue and the social message. I'm just on the fence when it comes to trivializing the issue.
Look, not to harp on about the likeness to Taken, but the fact of the matter is that both films are about a man with skills from a pseudo-military background going up against sex traffickers to save a young girl. So let's call a spade, they're essentially the same narrative at their core. But in Taken, you felt the dark, you felt the grit, yeah. You wanted Liam Neeson to kill everyone brutally because they deserved it. And I'd say most people enjoyed the film for that reason.
Yes.
It's not about making light of the sex trafficking, but about giving us the satisfaction of seeing these bastards get slaughtered, in much the same way that everyone wanted John Wick to kill everyone for killing his puppy. But the film failed on all fronts for me. You know, we had a lackluster backstory, flimsy heroes, boring action, and a painfully predictable ending, yeah. As you said. And that's not what I expected from this film. I mean, even if you look at the poster for this film, it suggests something almost Dexter-esque.
Exactly.
But we just didn't get it. It was this whimsical, pseudo-comedic, semi-dark, wannabe pretend film. And yeah, it didn't work.
Look, I'm so glad that you've made this Taken comparison, because Liam Neeson in Taken has a central intelligence background. You know, he's got these skills like he has in the film. And yes, it is about the sex trade, but it's about him implementing his skills and showing the audience, you know, what can be done logically. And it makes sense. It's more relatable because it seems realistic. Ooh. In this film, Sivakarthikeyan's a doctor who we haven't established has a military background. We haven't established that he has other sets of skills. It's almost, Look, I understand the dark comedy, and I think the film without his comedic background would have been a mess, but I think that's the only thing that saves this film. Like, there's no connect between his career and what he does. It's almost, there's just, like, I can't believe it as a viewer.
Exactly, because this thing, like, you know, the opening scene, we see him as a field medic. That doesn't necessarily mean he's got combat skills or anything else beyond, you know, potentially good with a scalpel. But then, not that far down the road, he's just randomly stealing organs out of people. It's like, well, that's not really a hallmark characteristic of A, a doctor, that's just a butcher, or B, someone that's sort of got this mental clarity to be cunning and conniving, dark and resourceful, because, again, it came across as that comedy element. So it was disconnected. It should have felt like Liam Neeson putting electrodes on the guy with the car battery in the basement, but it didn't, because it was laughable. Exactly. And right, that's where it didn't work.
It's almost like the director has taken the Tegan script and just replaced Neeson with the Doctor. And it just doesn't work.
And put comedy in where it shouldn't be.
You should, exactly right. And for some reasons, the critics are lapping this up, but I just don't understand. And actually, M. Sugandha from The Times draws attention to the scene in which Padmini rejects Varun in the presence of both their families. And this sets the tone for the rest of the film. Like, Nelson doesn't let go of his darkly humorous tone even when things get serious. And the comedic element does reduce in the second half, but Nelson actually manages to inject a funny retort in order to keep the mood from getting too intense. But I think this actually works against the film. Sugandha highlights the scene towards the climax when the daughter decides to apologize to everyone because she's put them in harm's way. But even here, Nelson manages to, like, distill the humor whilst making it hit a nerve while we laugh.
Yeah, I don't think I laughed at all in this film, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I think there were some moments where I really enjoyed the comedy, especially when we see that slapping game. I think that for a native Tamil-speaking viewer, I think the comedy translated a little bit more. But I can understand for someone who's reading as a subtitle that the nuances of the jokes might be missed just in the subtext, so...
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, I guess in fairness to everyone that is reading subtitles, you don't get that same feeling of intonation, tone and delivery because, yes, text loses a lot of that. And if you can't understand language, a lot of it does fly over.
Yeah. But with that being said, Sabe, let's have a look at some of the themes in this film, albeit a little.
All right, well, the obvious one is human trafficking. Off you go.
Well, look, it's actually considered the second largest organized crime in India. And Reuters have actually estimated 20 million commercial prostitutes in India. And of them, 16 million women and girls are victims of sex trafficking, which is a ridiculous number. And according to legal services in India, every hour, 4 girls in India enter into prostitution and 3 of them against their own will. So it's just staggering results.
Extraordinary numbers.
So I can understand the complexity of the situation, but I just really wish that, you know, Nelson had taken another angle. Like, he can still make a comedic dark film, but just with a different type of nuanced narrative, man.
Yeah, I think particularly, you know, I wasn't aware of those numbers and they are a bit staggering. And I think if you're going to make a film like this that deals with a population group that possibly has one of the highest rates in the world, I'm guessing, in terms of human trafficking on its own soil, I think, yes, you're right. The tone of this film is completely wrong. It should have been far more direct, far more serious. And I guess in a way sort of motivated the audience in India to sort of want to do something about it in the same way that we wanted John Wick to kill the people that killed his puppy and we'd love to help him do it. I think if you've got that audience on board on the ground to go, actually, no, this is unacceptable and I know someone that this has happened to, or, you know, this could be my daughter or whatnot, and you actually motivate them to not make light of it, but go, no, this is a serious thing and we should actually work to stamp it out. I think this film could have gone so much further.
Now, so there was another theme that I noticed, and it's the intention to save your own and sacrifice others. And there's a turning point in this movie where we see Varun and his family have an opportunity to take the young girl that they've been looking for. But they have to leave the rest of the kidnapped girls behind. And he decides that he's not satisfied with only one. He wants to save them all. Or we even hear him tell his military colonel that he cannot stomach or accept one life lost. And this is a contrasting extension on the first scene of him operating on the terrorists rather than the commander, because he's more salvageable and logic dictates they can extrapolate more information from this person. And the great dialogue that happens between the family and Varun only wanting to take their girl, you know, I felt like it was a really deep concept and I really enjoyed that part where I believe like Nelson gets a little philosophical, because Varun almost says, look, you can take your daughter, but you have to kill me.
I felt like this was a great concept, but poorly executed.
Yeah.
I had hoped it had been done so much better than it was, because again, I think it came back to this comedy element. You know, the family had essentially been slapsticking their way through to get to their daughter in the first place. And then suddenly we were intersected with this very serious sort of notion of, well, do you save your daughter at the expense of everyone else, or do you try to save everyone? And while the character of Varun attempted to come at it from a very sort of, I guess, logical and pragmatic perspective, the family didn't. And again, this was a narrative issue, but it is a very serious question. And it's the same sort of question that characters face in a multitude of movies, including the likes of Taken. You know, do you save everyone? Do you save who you can? And it really does touch on this sort of primeval part of us where our first priority is our own children, our own family, over that of others. But by the same token, if you were to sacrifice 7, 10, 20, even just one other girl, can you live with that? Because you have to live with the fact that there's someone out there that's either raped, murdered, sold into sex trafficking, abused, all of the above, and that you're sort of the direct result of that. You're complicit in having done nothing to actually prevent it. So, yeah, it's a bit of a catch-22. You might run the risk of losing your own daughter in this situation, but does that make it an honorable death if they all die together? Or are you a terrible person for not saving who you can? It's a complex thing, but again, I don't think the film covered it well enough.
Yeah, I would have liked to see more exposition. I would have liked to see more thought, more complexity in the dialogue, maybe a bit of a more refined repertoire between Varun and the family. But Nelson took a more comedic approach and it sort of, once again, just diluted the whole effect.
Yeah, it backfired.
And there's one final theme I want to discuss with you, Sabe, is the concept of love and relationship that this film explores. We see Varun and Padmini in the very first scene sort of disown each other. Well, it's not really Varun, it's actually more Padmini. That she's got these contrived notions of what a guy should be and how he should display affection. And I'm assuming from like her own environment, pop culture, her family and friends. And when Varun doesn't meet those so-called values, she disowns him. And as the film progresses, she actually ends up falling for him, and you know, like she actually ends up liking him. And it's this concept that I found interesting that like Nelson explores in this film.
Yeah, I think the film was saying that, you know, the likes of Padmini were reflective of women that have these airy-fairy notions of what a man should be, and they've got the rose-tinted glasses on, and they think that it's all about, you know, flowers, smiles, and kind deeds and nice words. But the reality of life is that that stuff's great, and I'm not saying you shouldn't have it, but that is not the defining characteristic of what makes a good person. Because a person that smiles on the outside might just as likely be the person that beats their wife at home in private. And I think this is what the film was getting to the core of. It was saying that characters such as Varun, he may not have those surface level niceties, but the qualities that he does have go so much deeper than that. And that that sort of person and the value he brings in terms of his willingness to fight for others and strive to save them and put his skills to good use for the benefit of others is so much better than some pretentious twat of a man that thinks everything's about swooning, smiling and appearing nice. But when the going gets tough, turning into a weak, blubbering fool and not actually being able to do anything about it. So it was definitely having, I think, albeit a shallow look at the qualities of men and what's actually respected as good qualities of a man in this day and age. And the fact that there is actually a huge disconnect between true value and superficial value that's placed so heavily in pop culture these days.
Well, Sabe, look, I think you're right. But with that being said, shall we quickly look at cinematography and see how the film utilized the camera?
Yeah, sure. I actually want to touch on a couple of little things that aren't strictly just cinematography too at this point. But just from the start, lots of the cinematography in this film was actually quite nice. You know, there was a good range of movements in the shot. There was great composition. The film on the whole felt nicely graded and like it was very well balanced scene to scene. And, you know, I have to give a lot of respect to the people that actually work on this, you know, the DOPs, the editors, the grading department, all that, because they did do a really nice job of it. That said, one little edit qualm I have with this, and I've seen it in many films, but I like to think that it was a quality that died in the 1960s, was sped up footage. It's just so amateurish. Don't do it. It looks ridiculous. Trees blowing around at a million miles an hour and cars moving at awkward speeds and people suddenly walking but moving at 22 kilometers an hour. It looks ridiculous. It is so fake. So don't do it. A couple of little qualms though that I also had with the film, which aren't really about cinematography, but there were typos in the subtitles.
Oh, God.
Now, I'm sorry, typographical errors is unforgivable. Netflix, you're meant to be a professional outfit. Now, I don't care if the production houses are providing these files or if Netflix is getting them done or a third party's brought in to do it, but somebody who speaks the language at which the subtitles are put in, and I don't care which language it is, it should be every language, they need to be QA'd. I mean, I have arranged subtitles for films. I have both typed them for films, and I've also organized third parties to do it. But I always get the damn things checked to make sure they're right. Because at the end of the day, we're only human, we make mistakes, but someone needs to pick up those mistakes. There should not be subtitles going out in films that are missing the first letter of the word have. So it says av, and things such as that. It's just sloppy. But another question I actually have on the front of language here, and this is sort of a general question for you, Alan, and perhaps our audience if they wish to respond, is I've noticed a lot of times, particularly in Tamil films, every now and again a sentence will be delivered in English. Why? I don't understand why it bounces between English and Tamil just for a sentence in a conversation that otherwise takes place in the native language.
You've got me stumped here, because the only thing I can imagine is maybe, I guess, the context in which that sentence is used, like to maybe add a sense of bougerie to what they're sort of saying, or maybe it's easier to say that sentence in English. I'm not too sure.
Okay, because I would sort of forgive some things, you know, particularly in languages such as like Japanese and whatnot. You might get a word that's from another language just because there's no sort of direct translation into the native language. But for some of these sentences, they just seem so run-of-the-mill and they're not using anything particularly, you know, foreign in terms of the sentence structure and whatnot. So I thought, well, why does it keep happening? And I'd noticed happens in all the films at very random times.
It could just purely be a comedic thing. So maybe next time we need to look at the context of how it's being said.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
But look, I didn't realise that there were typos in the subtitle. I think it's just poor form, you know, like, especially from a powerhouse streamer. You know, I feel like these menial tasks, you know, may get outsourced to third-party companies, but just keep it in-house, Netflix. You know, if these guys aren't doing the job, just get it done yourself. So it's a double shame.
Look, I think whether it's in-house or not, someone should still proof it.
Yeah, exactly right. On that note, Save, let's wrap this film up.
Okay, so this film, in my opinion, tried to take itself far too seriously, and it was just a total joke that needed to be re-edited and lose a full hour at least. You know, the performances in this film were shocking. The bad guy reminded me of Timothy Oliphant in Live Free or Die Hard, and the Colonel reminded me of an Indian Ted Danson from Becca. But, you know, that said, perhaps I'm just too far removed from the intended audience. You know, I don't have the same sort of cultural patience or acceptance for many of the tropes, narrative arcs, and production standards. And I'm certainly not the sort of person who gets invested enough in actors to give anyone a free pass. But, you know, call me ruthless, I'm only going to give this film a 4.2, and most of those points are solely for the technical execution, which I think on the whole was actually quite good.
Oh, Save, okay. Look, I've read a few critics' comments from this film, and the majority of the praise of the film is for the director's dark comedic elements and Sivi Karthikeyan's ability to portray a different character than his usually routine one. But these aren't strong valid reasons for me to give this film a high score. Maybe the standard is just below par, and the critics just simply feel that a recharacterization of an actor denotes a great, unique film. I didn't hate the film, but I don't think it's worthy of the praise that it's gotten either. Doctor is about child trafficking, about sex slavery, about a submissive family forced into acts of crime. But all this gravity is a device in which Nelson has decided to unleash an inventive comedy. And there are some great moments, and it's certainly yielded a slightly above average film. But I'm going to have to give this film a 5.9 out of 10 Save.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, once again, that's all from us, folks. And remember, you can all let us know what films you'd like us to do too. Just drop us a comment on our socials. But until then, we hope you've enjoyed yet another episode from us. And remember to give us a follow and subscribe on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And recommend us to your friends and family. Until next week, though, goodbye from us.
Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe, guys. We'll see you all next week.